I'm with you, Griffith, MP for Llanelli. Near headlines today, homelessness not a priority for vaccination, rent increases, tax increases, there is a rise in unemployment, the NHS buckling, freedoms taken away. It looks like a sort of a biblical prediction for the end of the world. Are you and other politicians responsible for the mess if we put the pandemic in a box where it belongs? Who's responsible for this mess, the confusion and the suffering? And if you're not responsible, what are you doing as the MP for Llanelli, as a voice in Westminster, to try and sort this mess out?
Well, absolutely. It's a very, very serious situation and clearly unprecedented. But the point is, what we do need is calm and making sure that we go forward sensibly. And very clearly, we will need substantial financial support for people who've unfortunately lost their jobs. And it looks now as if it's going to be a longer time before things can open up. And as the furlough comes to an end this spring, there will clearly be another possible surge in unemployment and a particularly difficult time for young people. So the focus absolutely does need to be on making sure that we support people properly and that we pay down the debt over a long period of time, that we don't try and suddenly, when the pandemic calms down, try to pay back everything at once and inflict a very large tax burden on people. So it's got to be a gradual paying down in order to provide money to invest in growth in new industries, growth in green industries, growth in opportunities for young people. So some of the things we can see beginning now, things like the Kickstart programme, but clearly we need a lot more support going forward. We also need clear messaging. It's no good having a stop-start sort of situation. I think we have to be very calm about how well we can come out of this and make sure that we do it, carefully and together. And I would just point out that some of the things that you've highlighted, of course, Welsh Government are making a particular effort for. So, for example, the homelessness programme has continued in Wales, where local authorities are still taking a responsibility for people and taking them off the streets, whereas that's come to an end, sadly, in England. And likewise, again, Welsh Government has been working very closely with local authorities to try to make sure that they try to work in where they can help for people who, for whatever reason, can't run their businesses. But we know there are still exclusions and we know we need to do a lot more.
Are you worried about these figures, that they're not quite accurate? We're looking at the young and self-employed. The furloughed people aren't covered. Is this masking the truth? Do you think these figures will be much higher when the furlough stops?
I really do fear that that may be the case. It may be the case that businesses are hanging on. It may be the case that businesses are trying to postpone making some very difficult decisions. So that does worry me. I think also there may be a fair number of people who do not appear in the statistics for whatever reason. They're not necessarily registered as one thing or another. They may have been working from home, extra income, perhaps extra few hours here and there. There's going to be a lot of less income rather than necessarily unemployment. Both of those things are hitting people, I think.
We've heard the debacle of the members of the Senedd with the drinking. We've also heard about the confusion that exists within the sort of Welsh Labour government at the moment on the vaccination, the backtracking, the confusion, the changing of statements and so on. Do you have any role to play in that? Are you sort of expressing some of your concerns within the Welsh Assembly to members of the Senedd in the Welsh Labour Party?
Well, absolutely. We have a meeting every week with one of the ministers. So, for example, recently we've spoken to Mark Drakeford. We have spoken to the Health Minister, Vaughan Gethin, and also to Julie James, the local government minister. And these are opportunities for us to raise, very frankly, all the issues and all the concerns that we have locally. And I can assure you that we do. We don't pull our punches. And we expect answers. And to be fair, it is an opportunity for them to explain the situation and, for us to have a frank discussion about it. On the vaccine, I'm very much in touch with the local health board, and it has been a little bit up and down and confusing about where the supplies have been coming and what time they'd be arriving. But we do now seem to have a very clear programme of all the GPs involved in rolling that out locally, plus vaccination centres in both Llanelli and Carmarthen opening this week for people for the general public, not just the healthcare workers.
Labour lost the last election, and we have Boris Johnson. Some obviously parodied him as the sort of a son of Trump, if you like. Not a great place for the UK at the moment in all sorts of ways. But the kind of consensus is that you lost this election on your stance on Brexit, the Middle Manifesto, the love-hate relationship with Jeremy Corbyn. A lot of the voters in the red wall that sort of submitted to more towards the Conservatives. Do we now still lack that direction, that clarity within the Labour Party? Do we lack what, you know, a leader that's got that working class common touch? And what are you doing now in order to try and regain back that large chunk of Labour votes across the UK?
Right. Well, absolutely. December 2019 was a real low point for us in the Labour Party, and we mustn't underestimate the nature of that defeat and the real concerns that very many people had, and the real struggle they had to think who could represent them. And as you've mentioned, some of the issues which certainly hit us. I think that this year has been a year in which clearly we have elected a new leader. It's been an opportunity for people to get to know him. We don't expect people immediately to begin to trust us, but there are certainly encouraging signs in the polls now that people are beginning to regard Keir Starmer as a potential prime minister. They are beginning to like some of the things that he has done. That does not mean to say that there's an automatic approval for Labour in general. Likewise, in Wales, we've seen Mark Drakeford's handling of the pandemic receive some considerable praise. People feel confident when he speaks. But clearly, there's a long way from that to necessarily Labour winning elections. So what we need to do now going forward is to build on that, but to continue to listen to people, listen to what are their concerns, what are the things that have upset them most, what are the things that they really want us to prioritise, because that's what political life is about. It's actually about priorities. We'd all like to do everything, of course we would, but you know, people have got to recognise as they do that there's only a limited amount of resource. They don't believe in a manifesto which promises the world. And you know, we saw some of that back in 2019. So I think very much it's going to be a focus on jobs, the economy, absolutely the basics. And I think there's a real feeling out there about putting right the inequality in society. We can see that in the support that there's been, Marcus Rashford and the school meals. You know, there's a real feeling out there amongst people that we shouldn't be leaving anybody behind. We shouldn't be leaving anybody's life chances suffer because they haven't had the opportunities in life. So, you know, I think those are the types of things we'll be focusing on going forward.
Lord Griffiths of Burryport made a very impassioned speech in the House of Lords about his time as a child on free school meals and dreading the summer holidays. This is not a case of dreading the summer holidays for many, many families across Wales, specifically in Llanelli. This is a case of almost dreading every day. Where are they going to get the money? Where are they going to get the food? Are we seeing enough initiative, enough impetus into food banks and making sure that these children don't go without?
Well, there are two things there. Food banks should always be a last resort and they should be temporary. And that's the tragedy. The tragedy is that they're not temporary because either families on very low income have not been able to get the benefits they're entitled to, or those benefits simply don't stack up. And time again, in the work that I do in food banks, it's about trying to break through the wall that seems to be there in the DWP and make sure that people do get their benefits coming through. The delays are, quite frankly, inhuman. And very often as well, it's a matter of them not being sufficient because the cuts have been absolutely devastating over the last 10 years. And one of the reasons why we're saying that there should not be a retraction on the £20 extra that was added to new claims for universal credit, that should not be taken off. But also, what about all those people who were on the benefits before that £20 was introduced? They never got a rise. And so what they are getting, and let's remember, these are very, very often people who are in work, and their top up, because their wages are so low, is not sufficient. And that whole system needs reform so that their top-up would be sufficient to cover things like their housing costs, their food costs and their heating costs. So absolutely, there's a whole load of work to be done on that.